You're listening to the podcast of East River Park Christian Church. If you'd like to find out more information about the church or donate to this ministry, please visit us at eastriverpark.church. We pray that this is an encouragement to you as you grow in Christ through the local church.
So who here would admit that they are currently in a very busy season of life? It's a lot more people than first service. Currently, I would say that my wife and I are in one of the busiest and restless seasons of our life. The hustle is real. And I'm sure that all of you can relate to this because we're young, but for us currently, I'm juggling two jobs. I'm trying to go to the gym 5 to 6 days a week. I'm trying to figure out why our fridge smells like a dead rodent, even though I've cleaned it out literally 1,000 times. My wife is currently in cosmetology school 40 hours a week. On the opposite schedule as me. She works at Chick-fil-A 3 days a week. She's been trying to find time to go running. And on top of that, we're trying to find intentional time together. When she goes to school at 8 a.m. and I get off work at 11. And all of this while trying to not neglect friends and family. And I'm gonna admit it's sometimes very hard not to do. But I don't want this to sound like I'm complaining. I don't want this to sound like I'm not happy, because I love my life. And even though it is super busy, I absolutely love where the Lord has led me and my wife today. And I wouldn't change it for anything. But sometimes when you're just thinking about life, it genuinely feels like we are always looking ahead to when we think life will be less busy and we will rest a little more. But as we do that, we've been saying that since we got married, and it just seems like life doesn't get any less busy. It seems like we're living for the slow seasons, and they just don't seem to come that often. Or for some, they might never come. But in all that we've gone through and all that we're going to go through, no matter what happens, today I want to show you how we can find rest for the things that are actually a little deeper. How do we find rest from our guilt and our shame? How do we find rest in our soul? And how do we find the rest that gives us peace even when life is nonstop and crazy? And so we're going to continue a little on the path that the random preacher last week did. I think his name is Derek. But this is sort of preparing for the Easter series that Jason is going to do next week. So we had one of Jesus's miracles last week, and today we're going to look at sort of one of the theological lessons that Jesus gives in his ministry in Galilee. And so I'm going to pray, but the main passage of Scripture is going to be on the back of the bulletin. It would be on the screen, but it's not tonight or today. But if you have a Bible, I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time today to gather and worship. And despite all of the technical difficulties, it's amazing to just be here and still being able to worship with my church family. Thank you for the amazing opportunity you've given me to get up here and speak. And I just pray that you use me and that you just speak through me so that someone here might come to know you, Lord. And we just thank you for this day, and we ask this in your name. Amen. All right, so our main passage is going to be Matthew 11, 25 through 30. And it says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there's so much depth to this five verses, so much so that this could be probably at least three sermons. But I'm not going to put you through that, and we're going to focus heavily on 28 through 30 today. But just to set up where we are at in the book of Matthew, Jesus is continuing his personal ministry in Galilee. He has just got done talking about how John the Baptist has been put in prison, and this has caused some of the people around to essentially start to think that Jesus' ministry is not legit. He says this in Matthew 11, 18 and 19. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. And so it's pretty safe to say that at this point, Jesus is not too happy about what the Pharisees and what the culture has kind of done. They claim that John the Baptist had a demon, and ultimately they're going to kill him. And they say that Jesus was a drunkard and a glutton. And so after these verses, Jesus starts denouncing the cities. The cities that especially he has done mighty works in. And so he says this in Matthew 11, 20 through 24. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You'll be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. And so we get this theological idea from Jesus that he is announcing condemnation on the cities that didn't repent. And what he says, if the mighty works that were done in Chorazin and Bethsaida had been done in Tyre and Sidon, then they would have repented with sackcloths and ashes. And so we get this idea that there is a withholding of works in two cities. And then in the other two cities where the mighty works had been done, there was a neglect of repentance and arrogance. And so plain and simple, Jesus is saying that a day is coming when all will be judged and some people will be condemned because they did not know Christ. Not some people, all people who did not know Christ would be condemned. And then going to the main passage, we have a very similar idea, just on a more individualistic scale. Matthew 11, 25 through 27 says, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So Jesus gives this condemnation and judgment when he is referring to the revelation of Jesus. And he says it was withheld from the wise and understanding and revealed to little children. And so this idea might be overlooked sometimes, but here we have Jesus strictly stating that the Father chooses to reveal himself to some and chooses not to reveal himself to others. Everybody has the same revelation of God through creation, and that's stated in Romans 1:20 when it says, for his indivisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. And the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. But it also says, not all people are given the eyes to see the beautiful and redeeming work of Christ. And we ask, how does God decide this? Well, we know that God is just in all his works. And through Romans 9:15, we know that he has mercy on whom he has mercy, and he has compassion on whom he has compassion. And then straight from the main text, we see that Jesus says, for such was your gracious will. It is by his will that he does all things. And so we get, again, judgment and condemnation. And then he speaks about his revelation, which is revealed by God. And then we get to his final part, which is invitation. So judgment and condemnation on the cities, revelation through Jesus and the gospel. And then here, what we're going to talk about today, invitation. And so with all that set up, today I'm going to give three imperatives that Jesus gives to find rest. And so we exclaim imperative. We don't say just action, because it is more important than just acting. It is imperative. It is crucial that we do these things. So going back to our main text, let's look at the last three verses. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so the first imperative that Jesus gives, our point one, is come to me. Jesus says, if you want rest, come to me. And this first imperative is the only way to find true rest. You have to go to the source of who is offering the rest to find it. And so when we look at the culture of what was happening when Jesus speaks this, we have Pharisees who are enforcing the Levitical law. That is impossible for them to fully follow. We already know that. And then we have the Pharisees also being hypocrites because they thought they were holier than thou, yet they weren't. They were still failing in the law as well. And so we have this yoke on these people that is too much to bear for them. There is too much burden and guilt and shame for not fully living out the law. Because we know that the only person that was ever able to fully live by the law perfectly was Jesus. And so when Jesus says, come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden, he's talking to everybody. Because every single person has been burdened by their inability to not sin. And David even speaks of this in Psalm 38. He says, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. So the first thing to find rest is go to God. And now today it's a little different than that culture because we're no longer under the law of Moses. We don't have to follow the Levitical law anymore because God fulfilled that. But that does not change where we stand before Christ because we are all burdened by sin before we find Christ. And so today for us, it looks different. The culture today affirms things that are blatantly blasphemous against the Spirit. Today, if you slightly disagree with the culture, then you're chastised. And we also have to send our kids to a school where they're also going to teach them things that are blatantly blasphemous against the Spirit. And so I'm not a parent yet, but I can truly see how just unbearable that can feel to send your kids to that. And also I can just see how unbearable it is from living in the culture and knowing what it's like and seeing the news. And so that's why God says, come to me and don't put your stock in the world or the flesh. Because if all we did was put our stock in the flesh, the yoke would be too much to bear. The burden would be too much to bear. We would have no hope and there would be no rest in the deepest part of our souls. And we wonder why some of the biggest celebrities who had everything have killed themselves. And so Jesus says that we must go to Him because He'll give us rest. And when I say rest, I'm not talking about the rest of coming home after a long day, having a delicious Pepsi Zero Sugar. I know that my mother-in-law would agree. Kicking up your feet and watching your favorite show. That's not what this rest is talking about. This rest is not having constant guilt of your sins. This rest is not having an unbearable burden. And it's resting in the hope that we have a future in heaven with our Savior and our Father. And practically for us Christians, we get to look at this every single Sunday when we take communion. Communion is a sacrament where we as believers who have accepted Christ remember what Jesus did for us. We repent in our sins. We realign our will with God's. Communion is where we find rest because we go back to God. We remember what He did. And so I just want to say, if you have never experienced the rest that God gives, I want you to know that you're gonna learn more about this in the coming weeks, but Jesus died for you. He suffered death on a cross because He lived a perfect, sinless life. He obtained righteousness through following the law perfectly, and now He stands at the right hand of the Father and offers you the righteousness that He obtained. And to that we say, Amen. And so if you want to receive the rest of Christ, here's what Scripture says you must do. Confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised Him from the dead. And that's it. Because today is the day of salvation. But that's not the only thing that Jesus commands us to do. It's the second imperative. Jesus says, come to me. But then He says, take my yoke. And oftentimes, when we hear the word yoke, we think of the piece of equipment that you put on oxen that keeps them in unison. It's a thing that goes over their shoulders. And in Scripture, it says, don't be unequally yoked. And because of what that says, if you had an unequally yoked oxen, they'd not be in unison. You'd probably just walk in circles. But there's also another yoke that I don't know how many people use them today, maybe the Amish, but the early church would have a yoke for themselves. If you were a farmer, if you did anything with the land or you just needed water from a well, you would have this piece of wood over your shoulders and you would hold it like this. And then typically you'd have two buckets on the side filled with water, and it would help you walk with heavy buckets of water to get back to give drink to your family. But when we are under the burden of sin, this is the yoke that Jesus is talking about. And so when we're burdened by sin, we have this yoke, and it's constantly getting heavier because the wrath of God is just heaping onto this burden. And if we never found Christ, eventually it would get so heavy that we would die and we would spend eternity away from God, because that burden of sin never would have been taken away. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And in this context, you could easily say that the yoke of sin leads to death. And this yoke that we are burdened by, all humans are born into it. So Jesus says, take my yoke, because it's light and easy. But just a picture that I kept thinking about while writing this is, I don't know if there are any gym nuts in here. I've seen a few people that go to the gym at the same time as me, especially in the first service as well. But if you are a gym person, I have a story to tell about my previous PR, personal record for squats I was trying to do at the beginning of March. So I work my way up from my previous personal record, and then I go for a new one, which is 300, and I get it. I'm able to squat 300 pounds, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, I should probably stop, but I feel good. Let's throw some more 45s on there. And now I'm going to try and squat 315. So I throw it on the bar, I lift it off, and I stand there for a second, and I have two thoughts that go on in my brain. And the first thought is, if I don't get this weight off my back, it will crush me and I will die. And the second thought is, I should definitely try to squat this anyways. But luckily, the Holy Spirit interceded on my behalf and told me not to do it. And so I re-rack the weight and I accept defeat. But while I was writing this, I was thinking of how exactly this is like being yoked to sin. It's like I'm standing there with this weight on my back that I can't hold for long, and it's going to kill me. And then when Christ says, no, take my yoke, it's as if all the weight is just gone and I'm standing there with just a bar. And I'm like, this is not heavy at all anymore. This is light. Because his yoke is light and it's better. And when we're slaves to Christ instead of slaves to sin, that is when God says we find true rest. A light yoke, unbound from the burden of sin. In 1 Peter 2:16, it says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So today I'll tell you, if there is guilt for your sin on your life, if there is a burden weighing you down that you can't seem to get rid of, if you're holding on to something, God wants to take it from you so he can give you something that is restful and light. Because God says there's nothing that you have done, there's nothing that is too bad that you have done. There's nothing too sinful. There's nothing too shameful that God will not take from you and give you his light yoke. And so as we continue on, the last imperative, Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke. And then he says, learn from me. And so our point three today, learn from me. Jesus wants us to learn. And just in this passage, we learn that Jesus is the only way to the Father. No one knows the Father better than the Son. No one knows the Son better than the Father. And no one knows the Father unless Jesus reveals himself to you. We learn that people can go to Jesus and find rest. We learn that Jesus has a yoke that's better than our burden to sin. And so Jesus has learned from me something that is going to be ongoing. And so when we look at the disciples and we look at Jesus' ministry, what did the disciples call Jesus? They called him teacher. His disciples called him teacher because they knew that Jesus had all the answers that they needed to have hope and rest and eternal security. And today it is no different. We can lovingly look at Jesus and say, teacher, because he has given us his word to teach us and guide us. And we see this in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so Jesus doesn't just free us from the bondage of sin. He frees us and then gives us a way to live. And I think of what Jason says all the time. Jesus didn't just take our debt, but he took our debt and then gave us money in our bank account. He didn't just take our sin and leave us there. He took our sin and gave us righteousness, a reason to live. And so we're given the Word of God so we can learn more about who God is, who Jesus is, what He has done, and what He's going to do. So He reveals Himself to us. We believe, we find rest, we find a light yoke. But when we take the time to learn from Him, when we take the time to study the Word and grow in our relationships with Him, when we fellowship with other believers, when we have community, Christ shows us that we will have deeper rest. We find that when we are learning from God, we have more joy, more hope, more love, more rest. And Paul knows about this because when he talks about the knowledge of Christ, he says this in the church of Ephesus. This is Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When we learn from God, we learn the depth, the length, the height, the breadth of just who God is. And it surpasses understanding. So our main point today, find rest in God because His yoke is light and His burden is easy. Find rest in God because His yoke is light and His burden is easy. Easy. One of the greatest books I have never read is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. I've only seen a little bit of the movie. It's a book that I really want to read. But I know the theme of this book. And if you don't know what Pilgrim's Progress is, it is about a man named Christian who has this giant backpack on him. And they call it his burden. And he lives in the city of destruction. And so in this book, Christian is bogged down by this burden. And it's a story of his journey to get to the celestial city. which is atop Mount Zion. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. But before Christian can get to this celestial city, he has to get rid of this burden. And so Christian travels through all of these secular struggles, and he finally makes it to where he can get rid of his burden. And I'm going to read a quick excerpt from this book. It says, "Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on either side of a wall, and that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulty because of the load on his back. He ran thus till he came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below in the bottom, a sepulcher. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosened from his shoulders, and it fell off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, He hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Then he stood still a while to look in wonder, for it was very surprising to him, that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. He looked therefore, and looked again, even till the springs that were in his head sent the waters down his cheeks." To tell you guys, this is exactly where we are at. We are all like Christian. We all have this burden on our back. And if we would all just look to the cross, the burden would fall off of our back. It would go down the hill to the sepulcher. We would not see that burden anymore. And we would be given something even better, which is eternal life and the yoke to live this life that is light. All it takes is to confess and believe.